So thank you all for coming. It's a very, very special day today. And I would like to read something about Rasikananda Prabhu. First, I want to ask the blessings from Vishakha Mataji and from the older Matajis to please bless me that I can say something nicely. But I will just read it because it is a very nice story. And when I read this story from Rasika Murari Prabhu, it is very much related to Srila Prabhupada. Please listen carefully. Rasika Murari Patnaik, also known as Rasikananda Prabhu, was born in 1590. 56 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ended his earthly pastimes. Rasikananda was born in a powerful Saminar landowner family in Ruin on the Suvarnakhaya River in what is now the Medinipur district of southwest Bengal. This was a glorious time in the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The disciplic succession of devotees of Lord Krishna in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan had built a veritable storehouse of Sankirtan literature in the form of poetry, history, atheistics and philosophy, unlike any the world have ever seen. At this time, Tujiva Goswami had established a large Vaishnava community in Vrindavan and had sent his three best disciples. Who knows who were the three best disciples? Yes. Yes. Very good, Prabhuji, thank you. He was sending them to the north of India to spread the Goswami's teachings. While on the noble mission, Shyamananda met the 18-year-old Rasika Murari and initiated him into Krishna consciousness, giving him the name Rasikananda. The Goswami's teaching touched the heart of this pious young landowner who gave his life to Krishna the moment he met his illustrious guru. The meeting of Shyamananda and the youthful Rasikananda is retold in a Gopijana Vallabha's Rasika Mangala, a standard of 17th century text about the life of Rasikananda. Basically, Shyamananda and Rasikananda saw each other and recognized a connection and transcendent time itself. Rasika ran up to his future guru and fell flat at his feet, saying, "You are my eternal savior, and Krishna has finally sent you to redeem me." Shyamananda Prabhu smiled with great pleasure. "I have found the future of Vaishnavism." Is there clinging a bell here? Srila Prabhupada was doing the same. He was initiating his disciples and he was continuing spreading Krishna consciousness, not only in India, but all over the world. Rasikananda, like his guru, was a married man, and so his wife, Icha Devi, also took initiation from Shyamananda Prabhu, receiving the name Shyamadasi. Shyamananda told him to always chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Soon after Shyamadasi's initiation, the couple left Roini for nearby Kasipur, a popular city with a large influx of wealthy people. Sometime later, Shyamananda visited his two disciples in Kasipur and brought a beautiful deity of Krishna for them, Gopijana Vallabha. Seeing how much his disciples loved their newly installed deity, Shyamananda renamed the city Gopi Balavalapur, Gopi Vallabha's town, and blessed all of the townspeople to develop the same love for the deity that Rasikananda and his wife had. He asked Rasikananda to spread Krishna consciousness vigorously and made Shyamadasi the head priest of the temple. That was very unusual for that time because she was a Matadi and she was the head priest of the temple. Jai! Shyamananda then left. That's very nice. Shyamananda then left, but he had planted the seed. Rasikananda thrived, building an unparalleled organization for spreading Krishna consciousness. He and his wife worked as a team. Very nice. We hear how important that is when we are a team, when we are married. Aha! That's also nice to remember. And together they are said to have brought hundreds and thousands of pious people to the teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. Shyamanandini Vaishnavas. According to historian Ramakanta Chakravarti, Rasika Kumari was perhaps more successful in converting people into Vaishnavism than any other Vaishnava leader of his time. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! His enthusiasm was so pronounced that by the time of his passing away, the region of Medinapur had developed a distinct sect of Vaishnavas in the mood of Shyamananda, his guru. The Shyamanandi Vaishnavas, as they came to be called, developed their own style of dress, cooking, tilak marks, and temple construction. Rasikananda popularized Vaishnavism to the point of creating an entire subculture based on its principles. With Gopi Balapur is as the seed of Shyamanandi Vaishnavism, Rasikananda spent 40 years helping people see the good sense of Krishna consciousness. He made disciples among great kings and impious ruffians, among the Brahmanas and low-born Sudras. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He completely ignored caste and outer of qualification or disqualifications and gave everyone a taste of Vaishnavism. The classic histories of the period, such as Shyamananda Prakash and Rasika Mangala, tell who he and his wife, with the help of influential disciples, put an end on animal sacrifice in non-Vaishnava areas and convinced people throughout Orissa in its bordering village of the validity of Mahaprabhu's message. With his knowledge, purity and charism, is that a good idea? Yeah. He engaged Muslims, Buddhists, and various sects of Hindus in the service of Krishna consciousness. Late in his life, Rasikananda wrote a Sanskrit epic about the life of the person who had told him all he knew. It was called Shyamananda Satakam, and it remains the most authoritative work of Shyamananda's life. Radha Ananda, Rasikananda's eldest son, who inherited the Gopiwallabha temple from his mother, wrote a famous book called Radha Govinda Gavach, a beautiful devotional poem modeled after Jayadev's Gita Govinda. His eldest son was Nayanana, who, although like his grandfather, an enthusiastic teacher, left no literary work for posterity. Toward the end of his life, Rasikananda settled in Remuna, Orissa, where he was fascinated by the deity of Gopinath, Krishna. It is said that he would spend day and night just gazing at the beautiful deity. He would utter the Maha Mantra and sit transfixed, stuttering, shedding tears of love. He would point to the deity as if to say to others, "Don't you see?" But no one could see what he saw. After having spent his life spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and establishing a firm basis for the future of Vaishnavism, he was content to spend his time in the company of the Lord of his life. This I found in the book of Sajarat Das, who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And I liked it very much, because it is so much compared to Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was coming to the West, and he was spreading Krishna consciousness so vigorously. He was not looking at our if we were qualified, yes or no, but he was so merciful that he took us all. Even people who came after Srila Prabhupada are inspired to follow his teachings. And also Srila Prabhupada, he was just following the instruction of his Beata Master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And that I felt very fortunate today that I could speak a little bit about Rasikananda. And I was thinking, in my heart I'm connected with Prabhupada. This everything can go okay. Today we are reading chapter 25, the devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. And I hope that you don't mind. Mother Jai Bhadra this morning read already that Krishna was holding the mountain Govardhan, but I will read for you the whole story because I have some time, and to fill the time I was thinking it cannot do any harm to just read the whole story, because we have nice guests here who never heard maybe anything about Krishna consciousness, maybe a little bit, but this story is very special. Shall I do it? Is it okay? Okay. When Indra understood that the sacrifice which was to be offered by the coward man in Vrindavan had been stopped by Krishna, he became angry. Indra is a demigod. He thinks sometimes that he is God, but he is mistaken there. And we will hear the story how that went. He became angry and he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were headed by Nanda Maharaj. Although Indra knew perfectly well that Krishna was personally protecting them, as the director of different kinds of clouds, Indra called for the Samvartaka cloud. This cloud is invited when there is a need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. The Samvartaka was ordered by Indra to go over Vrindavan and inundate the whole area with an extensive flood. Demonical, Indra thought himself to be the all-powerful Supreme Personality. When demons become very powerful, they defy the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. Indra, though not a demon, was puffed up by his material position. He was proud. And pride is not nice in Krishna consciousness. It's not allowed, actually. But we have to purify our heart. And this mantra is helping us to do so. When demons become very powerful, they defy the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. Indra, though not a demon, was puffed up by his material position. And he wanted to challenge the Supreme Controller. He thought himself, at least for the time being, as powerful as Krishna, Indra said. Just see the impudence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are simply inhabitants of the forest. But being infatuated with their friend Krishna, who is nothing but an ordinary human being, they have dared to defy the demigods. Krishna was declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the worshippers of the demigod are not very intelligent. He has also declared that one has to give up all kinds of worship and simply concentrate on Krishna. Krishna invoking the anger of Indra and later on chastising him is a clear indication to his devotees that those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness have no need to worship any demigod. Even if it is found that the demigod has become angry, Krishna gives his devotees all protection and they should completely depend on his mercy. Indra cursed the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, by defying the authority of the demigods, the inhabitants of Vrindavan will suffer in material existence. Having neglected the sacrifice to the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material existence. Indra further declared, "These coward men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority, and on the advice of the talkative boy who is known as Krishna. He is nothing but a child, confirmed. Radhagopinath ki jai. He is nothing but a child, and by believing this child, they have enraged me." Then he ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go and destroy the prosperity of whole Vrindavan. "The men of Vrindavan," said Indra, "have become too puffed up over their material opulence and are overconfident." Even kijken hoor. Sometimes things are going a little bit too fast. Yeah. "The men in Vrindavan," said Indra, "have become too puffed up over their material opulence and are confident due to the presence of their tiny friend Krishna. He is simply a talkative, childish, and unaware of the complete cosmic situation. Although he is thinking himself very advanced in knowledge, because they have taken Krishna so seriously, they must be punished. They should be destroyed with their cows." We can see, when pride is becoming too much, we are really want to destroy everything what is standing in the way. In this way, Indra ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go to Vrindavan and inundate the place. It is indicated here that in the village or outside the towns, the inhabitants must depend on the cows for their prosperity. When the cows are destroyed, the people are destitute of all kinds of opulences. We can hear from this story how important the cows are. In this material world, people don't know. They kill the cow and think that when everything is finished, then they have food. But they don't understand actually that mother cow is giving milk, and we make yogurt and butter and cheese, and so many, Prabhupada said, hundreds and hundreds of different types of sweet from milk. When we go to the shop and we buy some sweets, some chocolate even, in the material world people are buying chocolate and they like that very much. It's made from milk. Maybe we don't know. Better to use the milk from the cow than eat your mother. When the cows are destroyed, the people are destitute of all kinds of opulences. Indra was smart. He was thinking, there I have to be. When King Indra ordered the Samvartaka and companion clouds to go to Vrindavan, the clouds were afraid of doing this mischief. But King Indra assured them, "You go ahead, and I will also go, riding on my elephant, accompanied by great storms, and I shall apply all my strength to punishing the inhabitants of Vrindavan." Ordered by King Indra, all the dangerous clouds appeared above Vrindavan and began to pour water incessantly with all their strength and power. There was constant lightning and thunder, blowing of severe wind and incessant falling of rain. The rain seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows. By pouring water as thick as pillars, without cessation, the clouds gradually filled all the lands in Vrindavan with water, and there was no visible distinction between higher and lower land. The situation was very dangerous, especially for the animals. The rainfall was The rainfall was accompanied by great winds, and every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from the severe cold. Unable to find any other source of deliverance, they all approached Govinda to take shelter at his lotus feet. The cows, especially being much aggrieved from the heavy rain, bow down their heads, and taking their calves underneath their bodies, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of His lotus feet. At that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray to Lord Krishna. Dear Krishna, they prayed, you are all powerful and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Now please protect us, you who have been much harassed by Indra. Upon hearing this prayer, Krishna could understand that Indra, being bereft of his sacrificial honor, was pouring down rain that was accompanied by heavy pieces of ice and strong winds. Although all this was out of season, Krishna understood that this was a deliberate exhibition of anger by Indra. He therefore concluded, this demigod, who thinks himself supreme, has shown his great power, but I shall answer him according to my position, and I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the supreme lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has risen from his power. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or other, he has become puffed up with material power, and this is now maddened. I shall act in such a way as to relieve him of this false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan, who are at present completely dependent on my mercy, and whom I have taken completely under my protection. I must save them by my mystic power. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna immediately picked up Govardhan Hill with his one hand, exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Thus he exhibited his transcendental pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Lord Krishna then addressed his devotees. My dear brothers, my dear father, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, which I have just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think that I will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore, I have lifted this hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think it is a proper arrangement to relieve you of your immediate distress. Be happy along with your animals underneath this great umbrella. Being assured by Lord Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan enter beneath the great hill along with their property and animals, and they all appeared to be safe. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomforts. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with the little finger of his left hand. Seeing the extraordinary mystic power of Krishna, Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination. He immediately called for all the clouds and asked them to desist. When the sky became completely clear of all clouds and there was sunrise again, the strong wind stopped. At that time, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known now as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, said, my dear cowherd man, now you can leave and take your wife, children, cows and valuables, because everything is ended. The inundation has gone down, along with the swelling waters of the river. All the men loaded their valuables on carts and slowly left with their cows and other paraphernalia. After they had cleared out everything, Lord Krishna very slowly replaced the Govardhan Hill in exactly the same position it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna with feelings of love and embraced him with great ecstasy. The gopis, being naturally very affectionate to Krishna, began to offer him yogurt mixed with their tears, and they poured incessant blessings upon him. Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda and Balaram, who is the strongest of the strong, embraced Krishna one after another, and from spontaneous feelings of affection, blessed him over and over again. In the heavens, different demigods from different planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka and Charanaloka, also began to show their complete satisfaction. They poured showers of flowers on the surface of the earth and sounded different conchs. There was beating my drums and being inspired by godly feelings, residents of Gandharvaloka began to play on their tamburas to please the Lord. After this incident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrounded by his dear friends and animals, returned to his home. As usual, the gopis began to chant the glories and the pastimes of Lord Krishna with great feeling, for they were chanting from the heart. This ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 25th chapter of Krishna Devastating Rainfall in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, so patient listening. Is there anything you want to share? Some realization or some nice story? Devotees who went to India, maybe they have some nice story from Govardhan Hill. That would be very nice to share with the devotees. And otherwise, there is breakfast very soon. You must be hungry. Bhakta Rick, you were in India. Tell me something about Govardhan Hill. Oh, that's Kali Yuga, eh? Speak a little louder, that we all can hear. Nice. Also in Vrindavan, in India, some people are doing some extra austerities, and they do Dandavat Parikram. We ordinary people, we are walking on our feet, and that's already very difficult because we do it without shoes. But there are many people in India, they go to lie down and they put a little stone on the top of their hands, and then they put their feet there and they fall down again and again. And they go all the way around the hill, and that's quite some kilometers. But they do it a few hours in the morning, and they put a certain stone that they remember the next day where they left off. And then the next day exactly they start there where they stopped the day before. And do I don't know how many Dandavat they call that. This morning you saw the Prabhus going flat on the floor. Now, to do that a few hundred times, you can imagine what a big austerity that will be. But it is very special. One of my god sisters, she came from Switzerland, and many years ago she was doing also Dandavat around, she was a young girl, I think maybe 19, 20. And she was also doing Dandavat around Govardhan. And I admire her for that, because it is really something, not a small thing to do. But today we have a very special day, And it will be a nice feast. And I hope that the guests will stay. Don't go away, eh? Because so many nice things will happen today. And you cannot miss out. Because we all need you to have a feast. You know? When we all go away, there is no feast. Dus please stay. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.